The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Fine. Oh man, let's see what happened here, if anything. I don't see anything disconnected. I'm on? Okay. I just heard nothing. I heard the music just kind of just stop. So, okay. Well, I'm glad we're on. 410 WCBM 680. Let's talk to Lee in Towson. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Alan, other than it looks like maybe three inches of snow out there, but
yeah,
nothing that won't come off the driveway easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about last week you had
Jason Seaman
from the
Charter Boat Association,
and there's two senators right now apparently that are trying to stop the are putting a bill in about the catch and release.
Okay.
I've been doing on the rockfish, and
yeah,
the fish we need to protect are the big female fish, correct? Isn't that the idea? Would be kind of the closure of the
I believe that's probably the biggest goal, don't you think?
Correct. Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, and our audience, that most of the fish that are caught are not big monster female fish. Very few going catch and release, which I participate in the winter time. I'm 100% advocate of it. It's a great fishery. Very, very unused. Although there
okay.
was quite a fishery going on in the Middle Bay, but it's a great fishery if it's done properly. I'm not an advocate of the trolling for rockfish, as I think you gentlemen talked about. But
right,
apparently there's a shot at that this is going to get closed down, and that would be detrimental to a lot of diehard winter and late fall and winter fishermen that you utilize.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of catch and release in the heat of the summer because of the mortality, obviously, but unfortunately that's a problem that isn't going to go away when you've got an open season to catch fish.
Right.
People are going to, they're not satisfied with catching that one, so they want to go on and on, but we look at catch and release, and a lot of the fishing that we do, let's go look at like hickory shad and the American shad.
Sure.
Even bass tournaments, bass are being taken off of the net.
I agree 100%.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just making my point. But they're plucked off their nests, they're taken and thrown in a live well, And if that isn't mishandling, I don't know what is. But, there is a lot of education that needs to go with catch and release. But we've got a tremendous fishery that's there, very underutilized. But it's a great tool to introduce people to fishing. That's what with my kids and a lot of friends and others, that it's just, hey, this is fun. Let's do it right. And it is right. Mortality is not there in the wintertime. And unfortunately, I'm going to probably end up having to gather get on the Fisheries Advisory Committee and go down and make a presentation to gain the support, because the lack of knowledge and the users down there is they just don't understand. Everybody looks at the bad aspects, and unfortunately, the bad is the internet. Internet is apparently shows a lot of mishandling and stuff like that. That's what hurts.
Well, see, there's the thing, Lee. Okay, there's the thing. You just hit the key. You hit the nail right on the head. Mishandling of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
The trolling them in with their mouth open, drowning them on the way in. Okay, I have no objection to somebody who knows what they're doing and how to handle a fish and how to catch it and how to release it. You know, take a quick photo, put it back in the water, as long as the water temperature is good. Okay,
yep.
Do your best to release it in the water. If it's not something you want to take a picture of, and you're on them and you're catching a couple, you know, okay, you got a big one. Do your best to keep that fish, you know, suspended in the water as you can. Take a picture, put it back in. But I am not sure what the effect is, and I don't think anybody can tell me what the effect is on catching those fish, even in cold water, pre-spawn, that you bring in the boat, you handle, and you put back in. I can't tell you what the effect of the spawn is. What happens to the eggs? What happens? Do they go back and spawn? Are they stressed to the point where, you know, they're out of the water, they're gulping air, they're basically suffocating when they're out of the water, and you put them back in, they take a gulp, and they're gone, okay? But what has happened internally to that fish when that happens?
Okay.
Can anybody tell me that?
Internally, these fish are fine. They did a study in the 90s with a net in the flats. They put them in holding pens and found no, and they were actually catching them in gill nets. And this was a DNR study that was done, and the fish were let back into the water, no mortality. And they were just basically taking them, looking at them for a couple days in a large round net out in the flats, and these fish were fine. I've seen it for almost 50 years. I have never seen any kill. I had heard one guy on the internet posted with a Chesapeake Bay Foundation thing, and you let them go, and the eggs are coming out, which is not true. It is not true.
Well, there's actually a photo that was presented. There was a video that was presented to the Fisheries Fish Advisory Commission. Sport Fish Advisory Commission.
Right.
A decade ago, of a couple guys on a boat, and they caught this big cow rockfish, and she's bleeding from the gills and squirting eggs all over the place. And this was presented in evidence. To illustrate the damage that can be done when those fish are improperly handled, and these fish were definitely improperly handled. And, you know, that's when the big frou-frou-all rose. But DNR recognizes, you know, that if it were such a threat to conservation, and I think they're looking at it now even harder, that, you know, they wouldn't allow this season to go on. And it is an alternative. Right now, it is an alternative to the trophy season, which is catch and kill. So those fish have no chance to return and spawn. These fish have some chance to spawn.
Right, and they are spawning. That fish that was shown, that was literally within the temp was up in the upper 50s where they were getting ready to drop their eggs. That was the mistake made there, was the take of a fish too close to the, you know, it's probably getting ready to spawn that day. And I'm sure with the water temperatures being in the, I'm talking about the, in the 30s and 40s.
Right.
If it gets into the 50s, shut it down. I'm good with that. But the problem is we got some non-users of this fishery that condemn it, never used it, never been there, never done it. know nothing about it, and they want to shut down something. It's a tremendous fishery. I know all about it and how well it works. Not many people using it. And when the temperature has gotten above a certain window there, shut it down. Fine.
Okay.
But
okay.
If we're going to look at catch and release, we got to look at, you know, the summertime. Talking to you about the kill in the Patapsco. And a lot of that was because of wreck fishermen keeping fish. Keep on fishing after they've caught their one fish, and they're throwing them back in their floaters.
Yeah, no question.
Too warm.
Sure, I agree with you.
Yeah, but
I agree with you. Well, you know what, Lee? I have never participated in the catch and release season with the striped bass. Okay, I have fished the reservoirs. I look forward to that trip every single year.
Yeah, fishing
smallmouth on the beds. Water temperature is where it's supposed to be. Those fish return to the beds, and you know that they've either spawned or they're going to spawn. So I don't know if you call me a hypocrite or not, but I would like to learn more about this catch and release fishery. So I have never been for it. I have never been for it because there's never been anything. You know, you say there's been a survey back in the 90s where they put the fish in the big circular nets. When it comes to the catch and release portion of it, I know that the study was done. One of my friends, Rudy Lukakovich, did the hooking mortality study. And I don't know if there's ever been a mortality study of catch and release other than looking at the hooking and not, you know, and the survival of when the fish are hooked, but whether they live or whether they, you know, they don't, and most of them do live, but the question is, do they spawn? It's not whether they live or not. It's whether they spawn or not.
Well, you see the difference.
They can live a fine, long life, but do they spawn after they're caught? And handled. That's the question.
Right. There's no doubt in my mind that these fish, you know, does a largemouth bass or smallmouth spawn after it's been jerked out of the water, thrown in a line?
You would think.
In a tournament and
well, that spawn, yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I have my opinions of that too. So.
Well, no,
I do. I mean, I really do.
We target hickory shad and white shad during the spawning run.
We do.
Spawning.
Yep.
And, you know, we yank them out of the water. I see them get dragged up on the bank. And so.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm good with I would even work the DNR, but to show them, you know, what we do in with the catch and release and.
Sure.
And I'm gonna promote it till death do me part, but
I got it. Well,
unfortunately I'm gonna end up having to get in a fisheries advisory with probably a handful of users. I can see the potential of it getting shut down, and that would ruin me and my, especially my daughter and son and many other friends. But, you know, I just want the audience to realize that the potential of this, you know, with all the malarkey about of our the fish problems that we have, which I'm completely...
I got to take a break, but I want to ask you one question, and we'll deal with it. Let's deal with it next week, okay?
Yeah.
We'll deal with it next week. But think about this question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What factor has caused the low numbers for the last 5 years of the spawn? And you don't have to respond immediately. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
All right. Well, think about that for a week.
I'm there.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, Lee. See you, buddy.
Have a good one.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was interesting. How about that? You know, the 77th National Outdoor Show is coming up this weekend. Friday night and Saturday, February 23rd, 24th at 3485 Golden Hill Road, which is at the South Dorchester School in Church Creek, Maryland, right down Route 16. Admission, $8 for adults, $4 per child. It's home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship, that's for sure. It's a weekend of fun for the whole family, entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all. Better have some cash on hand, and you know, because somebody's going to spend some money for sure. Entertaining contest, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all. You can savor the local seafood delicacies and muskrat cook the old-fashioned way. If you like muskrat, you want to try it, you've never tried it, they'll hook you up at the cafeteria. Enjoy the heartland of Maryland, Dorchester County. It's Friday and Saturday, February 23rd and 24th. You're now in muskrat country, the heartland of sportsmen, trappers, watermen, and wildlife. Dorchester Countyans are proud to show you the best that comes from their boot-sucking marshes and the flowing waters that surround them. Most of all, they hope to share the unique spirit and character of the hard-working people who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in our traditional old-school ways. Friday and Saturday, February 23rd and 24th, coming up, 77th National Outdoor Show. We'll see you there. For times and details, National Outdoor Show. .org. Exactly. Hey, you know, I'm sitting here. It's cold out. Fireplace has come back on. I left the dogs out. The door was open for a few minutes, so the room dropped a degree or two. And, you know, the insert is on auto. I haven't touched the remote all day, but the fireplace comes on and off. It heats the room up to a predetermined temperature, and then when it reaches the temperature, it goes back off. That's my Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert from Backyard Billy's at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, the premier fireplace stove and hearth dealer in the region. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's did the installation, and since then, couple years now, they provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. We love the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries Enviro and Regency brands and other wood stove brands and pellet stove brands and freestanding wood stoves and freestanding pellet stoves by companies called Morso and Regency and others. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Why not stop in the showroom soon, like this weekend? You'll be ready next time the cold weather hits. It will be here. It's here now. But, you know, look into the future. It's going to be coming back every single year, and you're going to be ready for it. Backyard Billy's, especially with the price of fuel oil, you know. Wood's still cheaper than fuel. Pellets are still cheaper than fuel. Gas is still cheaper than fuel. And we love it. BackyardBillies.com or the Hearth America Facebook page, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Hearth America at Backyard Billies open 7 days a week, including today and tomorrow. Route 50 off exit 44B on Drummer. Get off the exit to the right, turn right on Drummer, and you're right there at Backyard Billies. Evans Avenue is the exit, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. And don't forget about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. They're your full-line Browning dealer. And let me tell you something. There's some late waterfowl. There's some resident goose season still in effect. And there's the conservation season for snow geese. The snow geese are starting to come in now. I'm going to tell you about a shotgun called the A5. Been around a long, long time. Reliable, short recoil operated auto loading shotgun with a rugged composite stock, a textured gripping surface, and a shim. It's shim adjustable for length of pull, cast, and drop. Full coverage retro vintage tan camo finish. Yep, just like Grandpa had on his old hunting jacket. Vintage tan camo in Vector DS choke tubes. It's available, the A5 in vintage tan at Clyde Sports Shop, your full line Browning dealer. There's also the Gold Light 10-gauge field model in auric camo. New for 2023, just introduced it last year, the 10-gauge auto loader shotgun with a redesigned stock and forearm with a textured gripping surface, standard Invector interchangeable choke tube system, and four-shell magazine capacity, 10-gauge, 3.5-inch Gold Light in Arc Camo at your full-line Browning dealer, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, Halethorpe, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop, open 7 days a week for firearms, licenses, fishing, crabbing, tackle, and everything it revolves around the outdoors, your world, it's Clyde's Sports Shop. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722. MadonnaSeafood.com. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex Fleet Services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Well, when I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him in the church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, I surrender all, the squirrel ran up Harv Newland's coveralls. And Harv leaped to his feet and said, something's got a hold on me. Yeah! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping the pews and shouting hallelujah. Well,
Harv hit the aisle dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose and he screwed the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and that squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room.
And the rest is history, that's for sure. Ray Stevens. Love his stuff. His real name is Harold Ray Ragsdale. Born January 24th, 1939. He's 85 years old. Still going strong. On his final tour, and he's getting ready to retire at 85. I hope I have as much energy as Ray Stevens has at age 85. How about that? Man's had quite a career. Some tremendous, tremendous songs, tremendous novelty songs like The Streak and that one and others. So we enjoy sharing Ray Stevens and Hank Jr. and Willie and the rest of them. So 410 WCBM 680. If you have any comments on anything you've heard this morning, we would love to hear from you. 410-922-6680. Anything that you you think is important to talk about regarding the outdoors, where you think it's important too, if you want to talk about it, that's what we'll do. We'll have a conversation. At number 410 WCBM 680. And I think we have Tacklebox Tim on the line right now. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you today?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Well, it's my favorite kind of snow. It didn't lay on the sidewalk.
Okay. No shoveling needed, right?
Yeah, well, I'll push it off the truck in the car and shovel it, but other than that, I'm fine and dandy with it.
Yeah, I got you.
Now, last 2 weeks, you had really good discussion on catch and release, and the question you posed going into the break, what has caused low volume of reproduction?
Yep, 5 years.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here on catch and release.
Okay.
And you said the last 5 years of reproduction has been down.
Correct.
They didn't start catch and release 5 years ago. It's been going on forever. So
Correct.
Why now are they pointing at the catch and release? That's
no.
just the question I'm asking, you know.
No, but they're looking at it as another
another
factor. No, the main thing, Tim, is the summer fishery,
right?
The dead discard. I don't know if you read the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission striped bass. I call it a white paper, but if you go on Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, the standard number for dead discard has been 9 to 10%. Okay, the floaters.
Right.
People that catch, you know, to go out and chum or go out and use bait or whatever, catch fish after fish after fish, and, you know, they don't stop fishing after they catch their one fish, their one legal fish. They keep fishing. And that's what creates the dead discard, the number of fish that are released that have been fought to exhaustion in water that's too hot for them to survive on the surface. They release the fish. The fish swims away, swims 100 yards, and floats to the top. That's what's killing the fish in the summer. Is that cutting down on the number of spawning fish? Well, yeah, it's cutting down on the number of spawning fish in the future.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they're not 20, 30 pounds now, but they're dead, so they're never going to be 20, 30 pounds and be able to spawn. So in Atlantic States Marine Fisheries, they look at numbers like 30%, 34%, things like that, on that so-called, you know, that, I call it the white paper, whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, they're doing the math for what could be in the future.
No, they're doing the math for what they believe is happening now. The dead discard rate is higher than what is widely, you know, put out there as 9-10%. So, but keep in mind, Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has been tasked with managing fish in 13 different jurisdictions, all the coastal states. Yeah. Everywhere striped bass go. I mean, and not just striped bass. I mean, every species of fish, you know, they look at the catch, the bycatch, the commercial catch, the for-hire catch, the recreational catch on every species in their purview from New England to Mid-Atlantic and further south. So, you know, being migratory, the striped bass have their spawning route, their spawning run, which, you know, this is it. This is the Chesapeake Bay is the nursery, you know. And that is why such a focus on the Chesapeake Bay, because that's where the bulk of the spawning of the species takes place. And if the spawning success is down for a certain number of years, then there has to be more conservative action taken on the catches and the seasons and, you know, size limits and everything else that they can control. You know, they can't control the movement of the fish. They can't control the weather, but they can control how many we can take out of the water and how many they allow to be caught and the length of the season. So that's the only management tools that they have.
So that more or less they're not really pointing fingers at maybe the catch and release spawn, but it's just one avenue for them to do
tweak
protection in their eyes.
Yep, correct. Correct. Lee says cold water, fish handled properly, you know, caught quickly, brought in quickly. If you want to take a quick photo, put it back. No harm, no foul. But I don't know, and you don't know, we don't know, if, you know, catching a fish in the spawning season, whether it's a smallmouth bass, which is his point, a largemouth bass, a hickory shad, a American shad that we target during the spawn, if that is detrimental to the spawn. We just don't know. And that's my question. Do we err on the side of caution and let those fish do what they do and don't fish on them? But he says the numbers are so small that of the people that go out and fish that fishery and catch those fish that it's insignificant to the spawn. Okay.
Yeah, look,
I don't know.
There's arguments for both sides.
Where do you come down on it? I've always said I'm against it.
I have participated in it and seen it done properly, and I'm fine with it. But I know Lee and his friends are great on conservation and really stalwart on how they handle fish. But there are people who go out and they don't handle fish like Lee and his group of friends that go out and do it properly. So
there are people in any endeavor. There are deer hunters that don't know how to shoot, that don't sight their rifles in, that, you know, have no idea where to shoot a deer, that, you know, just there are people who are just willingly, quite frankly, willingly ignorant about their sport.
Exactly.
So, you know, How do we deal with that?
It's such is life. We got good and the bad, and sometimes with outdoor sports, it's sort of paramount that we try to make sure everybody's educated.
Right.
And sometimes we do suffer and have to give up parts of our fishery.
There was a case in the news recently. I think it happened in Virginia. There were a group of hunters that hunted together, and they were focused on wood ducks, and they baited the wood ducks in, and I think there were five guys in the group, and they killed over 100 wood ducks.
Oh.
And they got caught. And they were fined heavily, including somebody from Maryland who will remain nameless. Okay? But if you want to look up the wood duck, you know, you want to look up the wood duck case, you can look it up. You can see the names. You can see the situation. But, you know, there are still those who think there's nothing wrong with baiting in waterfowl to kill them. You know, taking unfair advantage. Well, you bait deer. Why can't you bait turkeys? Why can't you bait bears? Why can't you bait waterfowl? Okay? A lot of debate over bait.
Metaphor, yes.
So, you know, it's Bill Burton and I had the debate over bait many, 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 many years ago in the Maryland Deer Hunting Guide. You know, there are states you're not allowed to bait, Pennsylvania being one of them. Not even allowed to use, you know, deer lure. So it's very interesting. It's a very interesting dichotomy in the hunting community about the baiting situation. You know,
Maryland, we use it because it is legal. At one point, we had an overpopulation of deer when the deer population was over 300,000. Now we're down to around, now we're down to two-thirds of that, 200,000 or so estimate, and you can see it in the harvest. You know, we hit 100,000 deer in certain years, and then it slowly declined. Now we're down to 72,000 deer, and it was off 5% from last year. So are we managing the deer? Are we if you figure 200,000 is the overall population, and you kill 70,000 of them, what do you have left at the end of the season? Well, you have 130,000 animals, but one doe plus one buck plus one doe equals four deer usually, since a doe typically gives birth to four fawns. So it's a sustainable number. That's what we want. We want a sustainable wildlife population so that we can harvest it. We can keep it in control, that it doesn't do outlandish damage. But because of our situation here in Maryland, because of the nature of the deer being a creature of the forest edge, as Maryland Public TV called it, because inaccessibility to suburban areas, there's a lot of deer damage in suburbia. Because hunters don't allow, farmers don't allow active hunting on their farms because they fear the liability, they suffer deer damage as well. So, you know, you gotta play a balancing act. I think it's around 90% of the deer in Maryland are taken on private property. Public land is underutilized. So that's, we're talking about fish, but I mean, you know, I can relate it to the
right.
deer as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
No, I tend to lean on the side of no matter what the species, let spawning fish spawn. I don't participate in the perch runs, and every once in a while I might get out after shad, and I would get invited up to do a catch and release striper if it is allowed.
Yeah,
I would do that also.
Well,
I have caught largemouth bass in tournaments pre-spawn.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a hypocrite of my own words, but I tend to like.
Well, I mean, but are we? But are we? I mean, if it's permitted, you know, there are closed seasons where you're not allowed to even catch and release. So, you know, if that's when the fish are the most vulnerable, close the season. If you're going to allow catch and release, allow catch and release. So
that's why we have such the popular largemouth bass fishery here in the Upper Chesapeake, because Delaware and Pennsylvania have closed seasons up until June 16th. So
right.
The Maryland fishery being allowed for catch and keep, you know, we draw anglers from other states. And so far, I have not seen any adverse spawning for the bass, but it
right.
There's up years and down years.
Got it. All right, my friend. Well, we will talk later, I guess.
Okay, Alan. Hey, just throwing out both sides there, and just more lively discussion.
Oh yeah, that's what we need. More discussion, as always. Thanks, man.
Well, have a great afternoon.
See you, Tim.
Bye.
All right, buddy. Have fun. There he goes. Tacklebox Tim, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. You know, Spurry's Tire Service really helped me out yesterday. Really helped me out. I had a tire that could not be repaired, and we came to a reasonable solution. I had to purchase a new tire, which I was fine with because, you know, as we talked a little bit, we came up with the term careless carpenter. You know, the nail, the thing that was in my tire had to be at least 6 inches long. 4 inches of it broke off inside the tire. The other 2 inches were hanging outside. And, you know, very easy to observe that you got a screw in your tire. Damaged the sidewall, which meant that the thing couldn't be plugged. So we came to a wonderful solution down at Spurry's Tire Service. And, you know, I want to thank Brent for his effort on that. I told him I'd say nice things about him on the radio. So, you know, Brent, if you're listening, we're saying nice stuff about Spurry's Tire Service. Located at, my dog's barking, in the middle of a commercial. That would be the little Jinx, a little cabochon. Hush over there. Yeah. Spurrier's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads. It's just off Route 50 in Easton. That's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. They feature American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama, and others. Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires for your car or your truck, any make, any model. And I'm going to put new tires on that dog in just a minute. Spurrier's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard to your barnyard, from your garden tractor to your farm tractor, your gators, your combines, you name it. If you own a trailer or an ATV of any kind, Spurrier's has the tires for your boat trailer, for your utility trailer, for your landscape trailer. Spurrier's offers tire repair, full-service automotive repair, too. I'm in there for an oil change on Monday. They'll check, diagnose, and repair your vehicle when that check engine light comes on, and that's what they specialize in. Their 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurrier's customers, including me and Robin and our families, Robin and me, I know, I should have said it that way, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by, no appointment needed for tires. Call Spurrier's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. 410-822-7384. Visit the website spurrierstire.com. No appointment needed for tires. 410-822-7384 for Spurrier's Tire Service. Hey, it's time for the, 77th National Outdoor Show. This coming Friday and Saturday, 23rd and 24th, 3485 Golden Hill Road at the South Dorchester School, Church Creek, Maryland. Admission is just $8 for adults and $4 for child. It's a weekend of fun for the whole family. Bring your buck, bear, or stag and get it measured by Bucks, Bears, Stags for the Maryland Record Book. We'll be there. Entertaining contests, educational exhibits, leisurely shopping for all. You can savor the local seafood delicacies and even have muskrat cooked the old-fashioned way. Enjoy the heartland of Maryland, Dorchester County, Friday, Saturday, February 23rd, 24th, 2024. See you at the 77th National Outdoor Show. For times and details, it's nationaloutdoorshow.org on the World Wide Web, nationaloutdoorshow.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment, and you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your Linex bedliner installed at Catonsville Linex just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins, 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex Fleet Services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote 'em out. Vote 'em out.
Vote 'em out.
Vote 'em out.
Vote 'em out.
Vote 'em out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout.
Bring some new ones in, and we'll start that show again. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
All right. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's for sure. Hey, look at the Bucks, Bears, Stags, and that's what it is, Bucks, Bears, Stags Facebook page today. We just put it on there yesterday. A fellow by the name of Rodrigo Castro, during firearm season, took a sickest stag that is now number four in the record book, number four in the firearms division, number five overall for sika deer ever taken in Maryland. This phenomenal deer scores a gross score of 78 4/8 and a net score of 75 5/8. This thing is absolutely spectacular. Take a look. We've got some great photos of the of Rodrigo and his stag in there, and you will see the tremendous tine length and everything else on this great deer. And we're looking for stags like that to come back to the outdoor show, National Outdoor Show, Friday night and Saturday. Our whole crew will be down there measuring. Well, not the whole crew, but most of the crew will be down there measuring for white-tailed deer, sika deer, and even black bear. So hope you can make it. Hope you can. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Who do we have on the line? Aaron, you told me we had somebody. Joe in Parkville. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Alan, and a distant good morning to Robin. And
indeed.
Your wonderful dog's barking in the background. They're always being such a fun thing to have.
I know. It's distracting to me, but I hope it doesn't bother our listeners. The other one was what is she? Bernadoodle. Yeah, that was Jolene.
So, oh, okay. Well, that
appropriately named because Robin said she stole Jolene stole her man. So me, so, you never know.
There you go. There's always something. But and I saw a cartoon that showed the person is going, oh, what a wonderful puppy dog, and the puppy is just jumping up and down going, yeah, my everything, and off to the side is sitting a cat saying, you're my can opener.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right.
But anyhow, I do wonder sometimes about trying to micromanage and trying to get the perfect spot, this size, that size, and I've complained about it before. But the other thing is really when you talk about the science, how many of them really go on to spawn or what happens.
Right.
It is really hard to do those kinds of actual scientific measurements rather than guesstimating, looking at what might happen, seeing a fish that's
using the computer model.
Computer models can drive you absolutely crazy. The other thing is that of course, 5 years ago, we were just beginning to see the snakeheads hit and get into the population. We've had the blue catfish, but we don't know what the effect of that is, but all of this is just but the other thing too is that there are people who will take the perfect system and will just try to nudge it this way or that way. Most ways. I mean, I can remember trying to catch a flounder, and the commercial guys were taking flounders that were 12 or 13 inches, and they're looking for 19, 19 and a half, 20 inches for the lineman, you know.
For the recreational guy, yeah, I get it. Yep.
Yeah,
I understand.
Okay, okay.
I understand. And that's the deal. The striped bass is, you know, it's the desired species of the for-hire crew, the charter boat guys, the recreational people, and the commercial people. So there's tremendous pressure on these fish year-round. So anyway, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Hey, we got to tell you one more time about Backyard Billy's, our friends at Backyard Billy's. Look, you've heard the commercials for a couple of years now. Anything you need for your backyard, any picnic table, any chair, dog kennels, chicken coops, gym sets, sheds, greenhouses, you name it, they've got that. They've got all the stuff you need to heat your home, too, at the Hearth America division, the pellet stoves, the wood stoves, the gas stoves, the electric stoves, freestanding and inserts. They've also got, you know, the grills, the barbecue grills, the pellet grills by Memphis, and what's the other one? The grill smokers by Kamado Joe and Big Green Egg, Traeger, Traeger, pellet grill by Traeger. You can control that with your phone, you know, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, anything for your backyard, anything for your deck, anything for to heat your home, Backyard Billy's is the place. Hearth America division of Backyard Billy's is the place. See the website, backyardbillies.com. Hearth America has a Facebook page. The phone number is 410-827-4500 if you're looking for anything. 827-4500. Why not stop by? That's the best thing to do. Spend half a day there. They're open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44B. It's a destination. It really is. Evans Avenue, Graysonville, Route 50, exit 44B, coming from the bridge. Evans Avenue, exit Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace, and Backyard Billy's can make your backyards great. So that's all I want to say about that. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you want to have a quick conversation, we're quickly running out of time. But I will tell you, the Maryland Bowhunter Society is having their benefit banquet on March 9th at Martin's West, and that's right off Security Boulevard there in Baltimore. There is a tremendous, tremendous menu there. It is a great time, 350, 400 people in the room. Lots of great door prizes. There's a membership drive going on right now. Go to your search engine, put in Maryland Bowhunters Society. There are great prizes. You can win a sick a deer trip if you're selected, if you join before the banquet on March 9th. Bucks, bears, stags will be there measuring white-tailed deer, sick a deer, and black bears, and that's the Maryland Bowhunters Society. What a great time. We've been going for the last few years. They have great representation. They're a member of Hunters of Maryland. They support conservation, and they support the hunting community in Annapolis as well as partners with Hunters of Maryland. Maryland Bowhunters Society. You'll be glad you did. All right, there's the music, folks. I'm glad you joined us this morning. Please pay attention to sponsors when you see them. From Battery Warehouse to Madonna Seafood to Lion X to Clyde Sports Shop to Backyard Billy's to Spurry's Tire Service and more. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. And they'll be glad you did. They'll be glad that they know that their word is getting out about their great products and businesses. Now it's time for me to say get out, stay safe. Hug your family and love the Lord this week.